So yes, we are back with yet another episode of Breakpoint. Hey, by the way, in case you didn't see the last one where we talked about debugging and stuff like that, we actually unveiled why the show is called Breakpoint. And more importantly, that the folks that make Visual Studio clearly stole our logo.
You said that, not me.
Right. But you have to watch the show in order to see why that is.
Yes.
But that's not the story for today.
No.
No. So today we're talking about another exciting thing.
Yeah.
Right? Dev Test with Azure Labs, yes?
Well, it's actually called Azure Dev Test Labs.
Oh, okay. So same thing, different order. Okay, got it. Yes.
Well, we were talking off air, and I asked him, did you even know about this thing? And he was saying no.
No.
And
so by the way, I'm totally winging this episode just so that you know. Yeah. Usually I have somewhat of an idea what we're talking about. This time around, it's just like, I'm going to be just as, I learned a new word the other day. Gobsmacked.
Gobsmacked. It's very British.
Yes.
Yes.
I was watching a concert that was live from BBC. Anyway, we won't get into that. It was a great concert. Point is, one of the audience members, she's like, I was just gobsmacked. I'm like, I love that word.
One of our former colleagues, Rini Gahir, would laugh heartily at
yes,
that.
Yes, he would have.
Yes. Yeah. British guy.
On that note.
Yes.
Boggle my mind. And boggle theirs, of course.
Okay, so we're going to talk about dev and test. And
yes,
you
see,
said,
that part,
okay,
that
okay,
part is
so,
old school.
So I'm gonna call you out here.
Please do.
Yeah, I'm basically.
This is why I'm here.
So when you asked me what we were going to be talking about today, you basically said, I said, you know, Azure Dev Test Labs, and you went.
I kind of went like this.
Watch out, you don't want to get rid of your wire.
Yeah. Point being, here I am. I'm back. Don't worry.
Tony literally had
don't
a connection
worry.
On the side.
The point is, I had to demonstrate. To yes. I had to demonstrate. Paul says dev test. I'm like, okay, well, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, you're okay, Tony? Yeah, okay, good.
All right.
He's giving the thumbs up.
Perfect. Okay, yeah. Let's do it.
So anyways.
I feel better now. I got that off my chest.
So he thinks that, JR thinks that dev test labs is boring. Like, dev test is boring.
For the record, I didn't say boring.
Yeah,
I just said,
you said boring.
There's nothing new and exciting.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's talk about this.
Let's.
Okay.
Wait, where's my couch? I need to lie down.
See, Tony doesn't think it's boring. He's intently looking. Yeah, he's going to this. If only you could see.
What are these things that we need to have cameras facing off camera?
Yes. All right. So let's talk about Azure Dev Test Labs. So
okay.
To frame the conversation.
Let's.
Okay. You are known as the Azure guy. You still are, even though you've changed the role slightly.
I love Azure.
Azure's awesome. It really is.
All right, let's not geek out about Azure.
Okay, no, we are. Okay, so Azure is the perfect place to set up your dev and test environments.
Along with everything else, of course.
Along with everything else, but let's talk about stats, okay? So on Azure, around a quarter of all the workloads are basically dev and test.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, give or take is what I've heard. Now,
sure.
I don't have the stat to back that
in
up,
words,
but I trust
them,
the people that I've heard, so it's directionally correct at least.
Okay.
Right? So think about that. One in four workloads on Azure, actually on cloud environments all up, not just Azure, are dev and test. So
it makes sense.
It makes sense because if you think about it, when you're a development and testing team, you have production.
Yeah.
You may have staging that is very similar looking to production as far as like how much hardware and horsepower you have. Your dev and test environment's usually a little lighter, right?
Which used to boggle my mind, but I'm not going to have
now. Well, it makes sense in some cases, right? I mean, budget does have something to play with it. And
sure,
like
then whatever you save on your dev test environment, you end up saving it, or you end up spending it anyway on the amount of extra testing you need to do because the environments aren't the same.
Yes, to an extent, I will give you that. But one of the things that I will say is the fact that it's sometimes very, very difficult to be nimble. I don't want to use the word agile because agile has a loaded connotation when we're talking about development. But you want to be nimble, right? So the fact of the matter is dev and test environments typically go up and they go down, they get changed, they do all sorts of things like that, right? Provisioning is difficult for that if you're doing it internally, even if it's a virtual environment that you're provisioning internally, right? It's no fault of anybody. It's just that's the way things are done.
Sure.
Like maybe you work for an organization where it's really, really quick and that's great, right? But a lot of organizations that are out there are finding that it's to be proactive, not just reactive to business demands, but proactive in working with the business to say, hey, let's make sure that we're up to speed and we can anticipate what the business needs are going forward. they need to have that nimbleness or nimbility or whatever you want to call it.
That's did you just
a
make
word,
up a word?
Yeah, I made it.
Nimbility. I got to look that up.
Yeah. Yeah, find a synonym.
I'm going to look it up. Nimbility.
Agility would probably be the one, but again, I'm not using that word. So anyways, so anyways, if you think about it, that's why a lot of companies are going to the cloud, right? So that they can actually provision these environments up and running quickly. They can actually, as you mentioned, set it up to go and create an environment that is very, very similar to their production environment as well, so that they can do all their different sort of dev and test in an environment that is analogous to what production would look like, which is good. However, with any cloud environment, you have to manage those resources.
Of course.
Right? Because though
any environment, regardless of cloud.
Yeah, exactly. But let's talk about cloud, because typically cloud, and again, Azure is where we are, but it's not just Azure, it's also other environments like Amazon, Google, IBM, whatever. You're paying by the minute for all intents and purposes, right? So that's good, because it actually ends up being cheaper in the long run if you manage your resources correctly. So as the Azure guy, I'm sure you've been in situations where, you've been working with, your Azure credits or whatever, and you set up an environment or a couple of virtual machines, and it's Friday and you forget to turn the virtual machine off.
Kind of like every time I went out and did a demo.
Well, yeah, exactly, right?
So, and there used to be these little programs that you can get that would sit on your tray that would be blue as long as you're billing, and then green if everything's off.
Yeah. So the problem is sometimes you forget. And there's ways that you can automate that.
Right.
But to set up the story, the Visual Studio team, when they were building the Visual Studio 2015 set of products, so that includes TFS, Visual Studio Online, the IDE, the testing, whatever, right? All those types of things. Release management.
Community, code.
Yeah, those things as well, right?
Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. But we like to talk about enterprise.
Sure.
But anyways, besides the point, the fact of the matter is they were doing their dev and test in Azure, which kind of makes sense, right? But they were running into the same problems. So think about it this way. So people were forgetting to turn off environments.
Yep.
So they were spending overnight, or they were spending, over weekends, or somebody went on vacation and forgot, and, that gets spun up and causes more accrual of funds, right? So the thing is, even though Visual Studio is part of, obviously, the Microsoft family, there is a chargeback model internally within Azure. So,
as there should be.
Yeah, so there was an increase in costs and things like that. And developers being who they are, I mean, you and I were both developers, so you see the shiny new toy, you want to play with it,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So one of the things that we're very proud of is the fact that we have the best range of different type of virtual machine sizes. I'm staying with virtual machines as an example, right? Everything from very small to 768 megabytes of memory shared core, shared environment, or shared virtual machine, whatever it is. And then all the way down to the GS5, which is like, half a terabyte of memory and 32 cores.
Clearly, Paul's geeked out
like
a little bit on the specs. Just saying.
Well, there's lots of range there, right? So if you think about it, the developer could technically, potentially create one of those Godzilla, those huge servers, right? Make a great Minecraft server, apparently. But the intent is that they cost a lot more. And so you need to be cost effective when you're doing things as well. So what ended up happening was there was some debate within the Visual Studio team around this. And there was actually a team within the Visual Studio team that created the Skunkworks project that was basically a framework that existed within Azure that allowed them to maintain their environments in a more intelligent way.
Cool.
So this was hugely popular within Visual Studio. As I understand it, I think it moved out to other product groups as well, started using it as well, because it helped them manage their resources. And because it was so successful, it was so successful that the team decided, hey, you know what? Why don't we productize this as a service within Azure?
Nice.
So that's what they've done. And they've turned this into what's called Azure Dev Test Labs, and it's now a public preview. Okay.
Huh.
So, you and your huh, yeah. So, I don't know why there was a bullet point there, but anyways, introducing, second bullet point, Azure Dev Test Lab.
Because you wanted to make a point.
I don't
First of
know
all, you're introducing
that,
it, yeah. It's just that important. And then the second important point here is that it's called Azure Dev Test Labs.
Let's go with it.
And third point, by the way, I looked it up in the dictionary, nimbility is not a word. The correct word you were looking for is nimbleness.
Nimbleness. Sounds wrong, too.
Better than nimbility.
Well, of course, I knew nimbility was wrong, but yeah. Okay. All right. So Azure Dev Test Lab is this new finished service that's currently in public preview. So what is Azure Dev Test Lab service?
Wait, pausing. Can we go back one step?
Yep.
Let's first clarify what a public preview means.
means that you can use it. It's not a full service production service, so there is the SLA is a little bit less and things like that.
As in, it's not perfect, people. It may break.
And some of the features are not quite there yet, and we'll explain some of those things as well.
But the beauty of it is, so that's all, like, yes, that's what it is. However, before you get all, oh, I'm not going to use that, just let's keep in mind, the earlier on you use these things and the more comfortable that you get with them as obviously time progresses and you can try out different things and as new features are added in, you're trying it out. When this thing actually goes live, right, as a full-out thing, you're not then spending the time to bring yourself up to speed on it. So that's number one. And number two, especially all of the assets that you'd have created as part of your preview all gets transferred along with you. So...
I am assuming that that's been the way all the time. I've actually not looked into that, so I don't want to.
Fair,
but let's say
conceptually,
that I think it's fair to say that that's probably the case.
Right.
Yeah.
Mark my words, people. Sure. Conceptually, don't hold me to that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you've ever used a preview service within Azure, you know that once it goes flips the switch, you know we don't tear things down. We get to keep what you're going.
Right. Kind of like the Azure preview portal that is no longer in a preview.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
Awesome.
I thought it was going to be in perpetual preview, but anyways, it is what it is. And we're going to get into the portal as well to show you this
stuff. Let's do it.
Okay, but before we do that, let's talk about what is included in the Azure DevTest Labs.
Okay.
So you see here, for example, you have developers, you have testers, you may have other people as well, in addition to, say, for example, your environment or operational administrators as well. All these types of roles have a role to play within Azure DevTest Labs, and these are some of the high-level sort of features that you see within the Azure DevTest Lab area. So you see quotas, policies, templates, security, and dashboards. Let's talk a little bit about quotas. So if you've ever worked with Azure before, you may notice that or may know that you can buy a chunk of Azure, right? So, you know, you say, I'm going to buy $10,000 worth of credits of Azure, and I can use that over 3 years or whatever it is, right? Or you can create, and there's actually this new Azure Enterprise Agreement service called the Azure Enterprise Agreement for Dev and Test, which is basically an MSDN-based dev benefit. So if you're familiar with MSDN benefits with Azure, you get a very highly discounted rate. So you don't pay for, you basically pay the Linux rates for Windows machines and things like that as well, for Microsoft-based machines, because of the fact that with MSDN, you don't, it's a dev and test benefit, so you don't have to pay for that software. So you pay Linux rates for those virtual machines, for example. So you can buy a chunk under MSDN, you can buy a chunk under production. But the problem is a lot of folks, they buy this chunk of Azure, and then they try to say, okay, well, this team will get, you know, 3,000, this team will get 4,000, then this team will get 3,000, for example. So A, B, and C. And it's tough to sometimes manage it. There's third-party tools out there that can help with that. But what we've done with this is that, especially from a dev and test perspective, is say you can assign quotas or assign amounts to specific projects within Azure. So you have the ability to say, for example, you know, Team A gets $3,000, and then when you reach 75% of usage of that $3,000, a note goes out to the team administrator, for example. And, you know, once you reach 100% or whatever it is, you know, everything stops, but you as the administrator of the entire subscription can then allocate more money or basically reject that request or whatever. So it allows you to box things in, which is important from maintaining and
of course,
dealing with cost. And you can also see at the very bottom, there's dashboards. So you have visualization. So, you know, the typical pie charts say, okay, this is how much left you have and all those types of things as well. As well as, you know, burn down charts say, we expect that based on current usage, by December, you know, 30th of 2015, you'll be out of Azure credits and you'll have to get more before then, for example. So you get a better idea of how you can manage those things.
Nice.
There's also policies. So you can basically say at this point, who can spin up an environment? Who can create an environment? Who can spin down an environment and delete environment or create templates? And we'll talk about templates as well. So that you have better control as to, you know, who is allowed to set up these things.
Yep.
And in fact, one of the other things that's interesting is typically when you think about a dev or test environment, it's usually more than just one single asset, like a single virtual machine. It's probably several virtual machines. You might be using a bunch of PaaS services, like platform as a service capabilities as well.
All the more reason why you wouldn't want people to just go in there and have at it and be like, whatever.
Exactly, right? So you can also say at any one point in time, X number of instances of this environment can only be claimed.
Huh.
So that's kind of cool too, right? You can pool these environments. So think about it. You have say, for example, you have 5 dev and test teams within your project that are under a specific quota, for example, and they have this dev and test environment template. You right-click on the template, you say claim it, right? I'm going to claim this. The first person claims it, all the way through to the 5th person claiming it. If a 6th person decides to claim it, you say no, because I basically set a maximum of 5 in this case.
Which really, if you think about it, from an organization perspective, other than the organization of the actual product or project, but from an organization perspective, that's an amazing way of, I mean, keeping the cost down for this, because conceivably you'd be like, wow, you know, this can run you into several thousands if you just kind of let it open.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, I mean, you have the ability to determine how many of these environment instances are up and running at any one point in time. Again, managing costs and, and maintaining sanity for all intents and purposes as well. Now, the other thing that's interesting is the templates, right? So you can set up a template and define that, you know, environment in a template. So that's repeatable again, right? So nothing too wild there. This is something that's been in Azure for a while. Currently, the templates support basically infrastructure as a service offerings, so like virtual machines and some networking capabilities. The intent down the road after public preview or later in the public preview is we'll add some platform as a service capabilities. So say, for example, you have an Azure web app, or you know, you want to add machine learning to your template or something like that. You could do those types of things. Currently, not right now. And right now is basically December 14th, 2015, in case you're wondering as to when this is. So that's another thing as well. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the other things. Now, one of the other things that's interesting, we talked about startup and shutdown. So the ability to start up, you know, claim an environment or something like that. Again, because you're charged by the minute for Azure usage, typically some things are by transaction, but, you know.
Right.
Say, for example, you wanted to, you know, set it up so that you... If the environment wasn't being used, you can shut it down or start it up before people need it, for example. So there's various different ways that we're looking into providing this this capability within the service. One is, and probably the easiest and most simple way of looking at it, is like a scheduled startup and shutdown, right? 7 in the morning, you know, of your current time zone,
before
start it up.
Everyone gets in.
Yeah, start it up. 7 p.m. or 10 p.m., whatever it might be, you know, you choose, you shut it down.
Makes
simple. You can also do things such as, you know, say, for example, do monitoring of resource usage, so like CPU usage or something like that. If it's under a certain amount of, you know, percentage over a period of time, you know, shut it down because it's probably not being used.
Yeah, you can assume it's not being used.
Yeah.
Safe assumption.
Yeah, and actually it's interesting. I talked with one of the principal program managers of the Azure DevTest Lab service, Claude Remillard. He's actually Canadian from Montreal. So
nice.
If you're familiar with the release management service, he's basically the father of all that, which is interesting. So it's kind of cool. So when I was down...
And Canadian.
Yeah.
I
love mentioning that because he's a great guy, an amazing guy. So nice. But
clearly you can tell. I mean, you guys always knew, but we are proud to be Canadian.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. But anyways, super smart, really nice. He spent some time with me when I was down in Redmond last person training. So I went to his office and saw some of the you know,
showed you all of his toys.
Well, some of them, right? So what's interesting is he was explaining it, and he had this example that he set up saying, I've created this Android app, right? And this Android app is basically a GPS app with a map.
Okay.
And basically, I pinpointed where my office is on this map, right? So when I've also defined a radius of 10 kilometers around.
So when you got into radius, it turned it on.
It turned it on, and then, you know, it would shut it off when he left.
Awesome.
So again, so you don't have to worry about these things.
That is awesome.
So that's just a clever way of doing things.
Sure.
You know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't for you type of thing. But the bottom line is there's lots of flexibility as to how you can sort of set this up, right?
From I wonder if something like that would be called fire me up.
Maybe. Right. I don't know.
Just as an app name.
It could be.
Putting it out there.
So that's basically what Azure DevTest Labs is. So rather than stay in this, let's actually go and show you some of the service. Okay, so let's get out of this.
Let's do it.
And I lost my mouse again for whatever reason, so let's just go back here. So go here, and I'm going to go to the portal.
Now, you happen to be using Edge, but because this is through the Azure portal, it'll pretty much work in every browser.
Yeah, any browser. It doesn't matter.
Any browser, any OS.
And you know what?
Phone, too.
Just
funny enough.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to zoom this in. I don't know why I'm at 67%. Let's make this a little larger so it makes it better to see. So you'll see here, I'm in my dashboard. I already have one set up. I think this was it. Yep, So I already got one set up, so I'll show you that one first before. Actually, you know what? I'll show you how you create a new one first. So if I click on new here, if you're familiar with the portal, this is basically where you do it. Click on new, and I can do, for example, do a search, which is just easier. So dev test labs. Do a search for dev test. Hopefully we'll see it here. You know, maybe it's just because I have this. There we go, dev test lab preview. So click on this, and then basically I click on create, and these blades come up and you can give it a lab name, and then the location, basically where you want it to actually be located, which data center. You can set up an auto shutdown. In this case, it's only the schedule shutdown is supported out of the box here. You can add PowerShell scripts to do some of these things as well if you want.
Now, pausing for a second.
Yep.
Since it says Paul LaBerge MSDN up there. So this is accessible to everyone who has their MSDN subscription, yes?
As well, yeah. So cool. whatever subscription you're sort of logged in as, it should work just fine, right? So even production Azure subscriptions, it should
work fine. All the more reason why that MSDN stuff is just pure and utter gold.
Yep, exactly, right? So I can manage these things as well. So I'm not going to bother creating one because I already created one.
Makes sense.
Right? So we'll just go back to this and we'll go to the PGL dev test lab that I've created. And it's a very simple one.
I love the icon.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right? I agree.
Chemistry good somehow reminds us of labs.
Yep. So before I show you the blade that popped up there, I'm going to scroll down here. You can see that I've got three. It's a little bit tough to see. Let's make this a little bit smaller. Yeah. So I got three virtual machines. They're all stopped in this case. I can start them up. I can do whatever. So if I click on this, it'll actually, and if I do this, it'll actually send me to the virtual machine settings page, which is what you already know and love today, for example, for creating a virtual machine. So that's all well and good. But what you can also see here is, I'll just take a look. If I go to the settings for my dev test lab itself, let's take a look at some of these things. See, let's take a look at properties. So you can see properties here. It gives you the name, the status of, you know, whether it was provisioned well or not, all the various different locations. So in this case, I happen to be in the eastern U.S. So for those of you that are in Canada watching us, for example, when the Azure data center comes up in Canada, the two that are coming up in Canada, Toronto and Quebec City, the intent is down the road, this will also be available here. So if you're interested in that, you can do that, as well as the subscription and all that kind of stuff. So the typical things. You can also take a look at all the virtual machines that are associated to this dev test lab. So I can add as many as I want to. By the way, I'm the administrator of this, so I have access to all of this stuff, right? So if I'm just a user of this, I may not have access to all these different settings, for example. You can see the templates. So these are the predefined templates that are available. So we have some that are, for example, a Jenkins template, a Linux-based template, a JDK, so Java Development Kit, SQL Server, Oracle, Visual Studio Community Edition, for example, a few other ones. There's all sorts of different things here that are built in out of the box. So I haven't actually created my own templates, but these are the ones that are provided out of the box, which is nice. And we'll talk a little bit more about templates in a second. Artifact repositories, which is interesting as well. So an artifact, if you're not familiar with it, is basically an asset that you want installed on your environment at the time of startup. So there could be situations where as part of your template you include certain pieces of software or configurations,
makes
right?
Sense.
But there's certain situations where you don't want to include software as part of the base config because maybe that base config is used by different teams with different requirements and all those types of things.
You're actually testing out deployments and such.
Yeah, exactly, right? So this is an area where you can basically say, okay, where is my artifacts that I'm going to grab? And we'll explain a little bit more about that in a second, is just basically where you're going to get all that information from.
Cool.
So keep that in mind. You can see here, for example, there's some things around policies. So those policies that we mentioned. So cost thresholds, which currently is not, it's coming soon. It's not there yet. So this is basically saying that, you know, like you can identify certain teams to have certain allocation of budget of your Azure credits. And when you reach whatever certain threshold, whether it's like 60% or half 50% or 75% or 90% or 100% of usage, you know, you send an alert or several alerts to at different levels and things like that, that will be available here. Allowed VM sizes. This is interesting. So again, this whole idea about developers, you know, being who we are, you know, we love to play with the toys and create
sure
those huge.
Do.
So you can basically lock this down to say there's only certain profiles of the various different sort of virtual machine profiles that are available within Azure. You're only allowing a subset of them. So you can see here, for example, for these environments, I've said that the only environment, the only virtual machine size that I am allowing as the administrator of this dev test lab is saying that you can basically claim an environment or set up a virtual machine within the dev test lab, and it can only be an A3, A4, or a D2 and a D3. So all the other ones, you cannot. Right? So again, making it easier for developers to make the right choice.
Sure.
As well as maintain your costs and maintain your sanity, for that matter, as well. So it's a beautiful thing as well. The maximum VM, so you can basically decide at this point, you know, how many virtual machines are allowed per user in this case. I've basically not enabled any of these policies. The number of, you know, policies per labs and all those types of things. The auto shutdown, as I said before, right now the only one is the scheduled shutdown. You can add other capabilities using, for example, Azure Automation and Runbooks and things like that if you wanted to, as part of this as well, if you want. And you also have the ability to manage, so resource management. So who are the users that are associated with this? In fact, I've only got myself on this, but I could add you, for example, if I wanted to this, if you were going to be a user for this. And you can basically set up the roles and things like that. And also some meta information, so tagging. So you can basically tag different virtual machines to different things, like, you know, web development or whatever it is that you decide to as well. So again, making it easier for you to label and manage these things in an efficient way. Okay. So those are the settings. Now, what happens if I actually want to create a virtual machine? So I create a lab VM. So I click on this. Okay. So in this case, it's saying a lab VM, but in right now, it's basically a single VM, but we're going to add it so that you can create multiple VMs in a single lab, for example, and things like that. You give it a name. So I'll just call this PGL Breakpoint. We're actually not going to create it because it would take too long to, you know, we don't want to wait 5 minutes for it to show up, even though 5 minutes is super, super small.
Relative short. To what you're building, 5 minutes is nothing.
But. Exactly, right?
Now, technically, we could always do one of those, you know, so in the last episode, you were talking about time reversals.
Yep.
Technically, we could do one of those time warps forward. And you're like,
exactly.
And then with the magic of post-production.
Yes, we could, but we won't bother with that because it's not really important.
That, and you already have it ready to go.
Exactly. So here, let's take a look at the base configuration required. So click on this. And here you see, for example, all the various different sort of, you know, templates. So at this point, you basically say, based on this lab VM, I wanted to create it on this specific template, for example. So I'll click on this, just a Windows Server. Give it a username. So I'll say PLaberge. And I'll give it a password, which I will not share with you.
Good thing it's hidden.
Yep. And now the VM size. Let's take a look at this. So A3, A4, D2.
Only what you made available.
And D3, right?
Yeah.
So if I view all.
Let me guess. It'll show them as grayed out.
You got it. Right. So if I scroll, all the ones are grayed out. So again, it makes it really easy for you to maintain control over exactly how.
Yeah, no, and then in theory, if you really needed one of those things, you can go back to your admin and say, hey, I need this added for me.
Exactly, right. So I can basically click on this one, and at that point, you know, select it. There you go. Now let's take a look at artifacts. And this is cool. I love this part. It's the fact that you can basically define artifacts that you're going to include with it. Now, as I said before, if you're familiar with a couple minutes ago when I talked about artifacts, these are things that you want to have installed at the time of startup.
Right.
Right. Not as part of the base template, but things at startup.
Yep.
So a good example would be, for example, you know, you need to install zip, some sort of zip capability.
I love the fact that Chef is on there.
Chef, yeah. So for deployment and things like that.
Stay tuned for a future episode on DevOps and Chef.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about DevOps for sure and things like that. I mean, that's what we do, right?
So, just saying.
Yep. And Fiddler, for example, if you need to do some debugging on HTTP traffic or TCP traffic, MongoDB. Now, what's interesting about this is you'll notice here that we have download, VSO, drop, and run script. And we have Git, and we also have clone a Git repository.
So literally every single thing that you need in order to just get started.
Yeah. Now, why did I specifically mention, you know, these source code repositories?
For continuous integration.
For continuous integration. So think about it this way. As a developer, you know, when you create a dev and test environment, or even as a tester for that matter, or anybody that's working with those types of environments, what are you doing? Well, you're testing your application.
Right? In theory.
In theory. So instead of spinning up the environment and then having to do a deployment yourself or whatever.
Just have it done before.
Why not at runtime, at spin-up time, why don't you basically say, you know, when I spin up this environment, I want to go to Visual Studio Team Services, right, or to GitHub or whatever it is that I'm actually getting my my code from. Grab the latest version, put it on there, or grab a specific version, whatever it is that you want,
and put it on there.
And put it on there so that you're always running with the latest or the, you know, the binaries that you need to be doing
the testing. Latest checked in version to your current branch.
And that's one of the things that was super, super important to,
of course,
to the Visual Studio team, because, you know, the developers come in, they spin up an environment, the latest binaries, the latest releases of the code are there for them to do their dev and test when they came in the morning after their coffee. I know, it's just beautiful.
Brilliant.
Right? And these are just what we provide. We're going to provide the capability of creating your own artifacts. So that could be, for example, you know, you set up an install package of Office, for example, if you need Office there. Or if you built a custom component of some sort, or you're grabbing a custom component from somewhere else in the organization or a third-party vendor.
So long story short, whatever you need.
Whatever you need. Yeah. So the intent there is that, you know, at runtime, you can, or at spin-up time, you can set up and do whatever you need to from there. So beautiful, beautiful thing. And that was basically it. Oh, sorry. The last thing I want to mention here as well is obviously you have the ability to determine where you're going to put this, for example, which data center. In this case, it's locked down because I basically said that my dev test lab is in the Eastern US data center in this case. But I can also take a look at the ARM template, the Azure Resource Manager template. Now, these templates, if you've worked with Azure Resource Manager in the past or if you've heard of it, it's an unfortunate acronym, I'll say, because ARM gets very, very confused with
ARM.
A chipset, right? You know, but it is the Azure Resource Manager, so it's a good, it's accurate from that standpoint. But you'll see here, this is all JSON. There's nothing too different about this, right? So basically, I've defined this specific template using JSON. So this is a little bit of desired state configuration and all
that. So if you really wanted to, you could technically just go hardcore and just write it out.
Well,
yourself.
That's the point, is the fact that when you create your own templates, you can just basically do that, right? So you create an Azure resource management, a resource, for example, your template, you define your template, then you can import that into your dev test lab or create it right from here if you want, and you're good to go. Right, so you've actually created your template, and then you can spin up environments.
I love it. I love it when things just are reused in the environment instead of specific template language for dev labs or dev test labs and specific language for ARM. You have everything as just one, and more importantly, it's not some crazy syntax or whatever. It's just pure and utter simple JSON.
And it's really easy to get to. You just go to the new production portal, portal.azure.com. Go to new, just do a search because it's the easiest way. Just dev test one word. So you can see dev test labs. Click on that, and there you go. And then you can set it up however you want to, which is cool. So that's cool.
Yes.
And what's also cool with this is the fact that as of right now, as far as I understand, this will be a free service. So using this is not going to cost you anything. The intent being is this is a framework for you to manage your
assets. It's a good thing I'm sitting.
Well, you know, it kind of makes sense, right?
No.
So there's
of course
no,
it makes sense.
Yeah. So it allows people to have better control and better handle on their assets within Azure, but also it allows developers and testers the freedom to spin up and create environments however they need to with the right configuration so that they don't spend their time configuring things once the environment is up and running. They just basically say, hey, give me the latest binaries when when I spin it up. And by the way, when I spin it up is basically when I'm in my car if I'm using that Android application, for example.
Fire me up.
Yeah, that probably, be careful.
That can go in a whole bunch of different directions.
It can really go.
That is not a real app, nor do I endorse it if there is one. I'm just saying it's a cool name.
Exactly. So.
So we get to see this thing running, like connected something somehow? Somewhere?
Well, it is what it is, right? So I got a whole bunch of virtual machines. That's basically it. It's a way to manage these things, right?
So simple as that.
As simple as that. And at that point, you know, if you have a virtual machine up and running as part of your lab or your environment, you can connect to it. You know,
there's
nothing special. That's the point, right? So it's RDP in, or you use a web deploy to a web server. Like I said, right now this is
very. Or you actually check your stuff into your GitHub repository, and then continuous integration will pick it up from there, and here you are.
Or Visual Studio Team Services.
Here I was thinking, it's like, okay, so now he's going to show me like another plugin for Visual Studio, which would be cool, but having or not having to install something else is that much cooler.
It is pretty cool. right? And yes, if you're talking about Visual Studio Team Services or TFS, for example, all the capabilities around test, development, release management, so that if you need to do deployments, for example, to your environment, go for it. There's no difference or change to that. It's just this is a framework for managing resources in Azure that you already know and love.
So it's almost like just going back to it. So in case I'm looking kind of funny, it's because I'm trying to wrap my head around this brilliant concept. So really, because it used to be that, I don't know, what was it, like a year ago or something like that, we would be talking about dev and test, and we would talk about it within the context of Visual Studio.
Yep.
You'd have to go in there and be like, oh, look, everything's all hooked up, and then when Visual Studio does its thing, it can automatically deploy, blah, blah, blah. Cool. This is really no different. The only thing is that it focuses on the infrastructure part of it and having all of those labs and stuff like that ready for you to go versus have to deploy it or have to spin it up and deploy it as you go.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
Did I get that right?
Exactly.
So taking out all of that extra time where you would have otherwise had to, when you finally hit that button in Visual Studio, you would have had to wait for it to actually do its thing, blah, 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 and then eventually deploy and then come back 20 minutes later and, hey, look, now you're good to go.
Exactly. So you're all set. Now, I just did a quick search, Bing or Google, whatever, Azure Dev Test Labs. And if you click on the first link that shows up, there's basically the product environment. It tells you how to get started, gives you pricing details for Azure all up, but it's free for now for Azure Dev Test Labs.
Nice.
Documentation associated with it, all those types of things. So you can see all the various different things. So self-service, which we talked about.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Getting ready to test, which means, spinning it up, for example. Create once, use everywhere. That's your templates.
Yep.
Integrates with your existing tool chain. So whatever you decide to include as part of your environment at spin-up time, go for it. And
that's it?
That's basically it. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So get started. Take a look at it. I'm excited about it. You said that it's boring about dev and test. But
well, it was
cool,
until you just automated my world.
Well, there you go, right? So now you have options around that. And if you do something cool with Azure Dev Test Labs, please let us know, because I'll bring this to Claude and show him some of the stuff, because if you got something clever, I'm sure he would love to see it as well. Yes.
I don't even know what to say. So simple.
Are you gobsmacked?
I am, actually.
Are you gobsmacked?
I should look up the definition of that word before I start using
it too
broadly.
It's probably slang. No, I think it's okay.
What do you say to that?
What do you say?
Other than the fact that it's like, it's so simple and yet such a time saver. Like,
yep.
It's almost like you're sitting there and be like, well, why wasn't it there before?
Yeah.
Well, now it is.
So now it is. See? And the backstory is really, really great, too.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that,
you're
a
using
bunch of
actual
developers
stuff that we're using.
Yeah, like a bunch of developers said, enough, we love Azure, but, we need a way to manage this better. And so, we know it works because we use it internally. We use it internally for a number of different types of services. The public preview is currently mainly focused on infrastructure as a service, as I said. Keep your eyes open to that product page or to, the Visual Studio and Azure, public relations and social media teams, because I'm sure as time goes by, we'll add new capabilities around some of the stuff as well. But yeah, use it, enjoy it, tell us how you like it, what you'd prefer to change. Use user voice. So user voice, if you do a search for that, online is basically a portal to provide your own feedback about things, and Microsoft's part of that, so you can do a
double check.
Yeah, it should be there.
Azure user voice.
I think it's one.
It is indeed one word.
So it should be there.
You would think it would be the first one that comes up. Wait for it.
He's checking on his PC.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll just include the link for you.
But yes, but anyways,
so much easier.
Definitely, add your feedback around it, because it is a preview right now. So, now is the time to provide feedback as to what you would like to see down the road, what you want to see now, later, those types of things as well.
And if nothing else, just tell us cool stories about how you're using it.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as that.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies out there that are using it. I'm not going to say them because I don't think I'd want to break any sort of NDA or anything.
Yeah.
Let's just say that there's companies that are global. There's companies that are mid-size. There's companies that are, startups that are using these things, and they like what they see. So hopefully you'll see the same thing.
I found it.
Yeah?
Feedback.azure.com.
Okay, there you go. Feedback.azure.com.
HTTPS, //feedback. Yeah. We'll have it in the link for you down below anyway.
Absolutely. So
Yeah. So as with everything else that we do here on Breakpoint, all of this content and stuff like that is actually sourced from the things that you wanted to hear, with the exception of this one, because, well, you may not have known about it because it's brand new, which we will make a point of doing more of because I'm just beside myself right now.
You're gobsmacked.
I am. And by the way, if there's others in your organization that are actually interested in some of this stuff, make sure that you share these episodes with them because, hey, if we can, well, other than that, and it's entertaining, but other than that, too. If we can somehow help get all the rest of the people in your organization educated for you so that you're spending your time actually doing the cool things that you do, and Paul and I can take care of educating everybody else, by all means, hey, share with them the URL, aka.ms/breakpointch9.
Which you can see.
If you want to get a hold of us, of course, Twitter on...
on Twitter at...
On Twitter at... CDN Devs, on Facebook, of course, Microsoft Developer. So facebook.com/MicrosoftDeveloper.Canada, don't forget. Or specifically, Paul and I, at Jay Rosenblit and...
At Pila Bear.
Yeah, it's so original. Like, honestly, you guys know us by now, so make sure that you reach out to us. Other than that, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.